So today, as we come around, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3. I've been going through the book of Daniel for a little while, but we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19. Just before I start, this week reminded me of a story. I was with some mates. I was 18. Wasn't a Christian. So when you're 18 and you're not a Christian, you do scallywag things. And one of my mates' his uncle had a shack, Bow Hill, right on the river. And he was able enough to con his uncle to give us the keys to the shack. So we went up there and we were being scallywags. Anyway, my mate goes, we're going to cook a barbie. So he went out on this deck. He had this big back deck at this shack that looked over the river. It's a beautiful spot. And so we were inside washing the footy and he went out to light the barbie. And we heard him yelling. My mate Dave is quite a relaxed kind of cat. So it's pretty unusual for him to get upset. But what had happened, he'd lit the barbie, dropped the match in between the slats of the decking where there was dry leaves, pine needles and things like that. So we all sprang into action. I grabbed the hose, but the dog had chewed the hose and they'd reconnected it. So the hose was about 2 metres long and the deck was about 10 metres away. So I'm just squirting it like that, trying to... My other mates are running into the house and out with cups of water because they couldn't find any buckets. I reckon one guy was spitting on the fire. But by the grace of God, we got the fire out. Anyway, the next morning, I wake up and I was sort of giggling to myself, thinking, fire out, how'd we get out of that one? That's a typical thing we get out of. I went to make a coffee and I opened up the cupboard door and there was a fire extinguisher. And it was literally a metre away from where the fire had started. So I said to Dave, Dave, what's going on with this? And he goes, I totally forgot I had it. He goes, it's one of those things that you put in the cupboard and you're thinking, I might need that one day. But I totally forgot I even had it. And sometimes we can treat our faith a bit like that. We can live and keep our faith hidden away in a cupboard. And we think, I'll put that there for an emergency. If I get sick, I'll drag my faith out, but right now, I don't actually need it. But I believe as Christians, we should everyday walk, we should use our faith every day. So just as a bit of a refresher from where I'm up to, there was a great king in Babylon called King Nebuchadnezzar, and he set up this massive image in the middle of the desert. It was 90 foot tall, and it made out of gold. And he commanded all the government officials and citizens of the kingdom to gather at the foot of this image as a dedication ceremony for it. And he told them that it was kind of like Olympic Games type of setup, like the opening Olympic Games. But the king said, when you hear music, you've got to bow to this image. You've got to bow down. So the music started. Everyone did except for three young guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there were three Jewish guys who were exiled. Some jealous government officials who were jealous because these three boys were getting promoted thought they'd dob them into the king. So the king called the boys in and he spoke to them in a bit of a father way and he sort of says, now boys, I think you misunderstood how my kingdom operates. He says, when I make a command, you do it. But the boy said to the king, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to bow down to it. So the king got mad and he goes, look, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in a furnace where there's going to be no God to save you from it. But the Jewish boy said, we serve the God of Israel and our God is totally capable of delivering us from your hands. And if he doesn't deliver us from your hands, we're still not going to bow. Because the boys want to do what is right in the sight of God, not what is right in the sight of man. And there were three young men, and they were exercising their faith. They weren't keeping it in a cupboard. So the story goes, chapter 3, verse 19, it says this. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning furnace. So you can see this, his fatherly tone had gone now, and he's starting to flex his authority against these men who are challenging it, and he was pretty upset. And it said he turned the furnace up hotter. I don't get why he turned the furnace up hotter. If you're mad at someone, surely you'd want them to suffer, not just vaporise. I don't know, maybe that's how my works. But and he got his army, the strongest guys in the army, the SAS guys, to tie him up. And again, I don't know why he wanted to do that. It's not like they're going to run around in there. So you'd think. But they tied him up. Verse 21, it says, so these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the furnace. It says that the flames were that hot that actually killed the army guys. I used to, when I was living in Adelaide, I used to be in the CFS. Now I think about it, I was around the same age as when we set fire to the deck. I was in the CFS. But anyway, I was in the CFS. I remember we were going to a fire, and it was a large bushfire, and we were fighting it. The wind changed, and it was coming straight at us, so we jumped in the back of the fire truck. We had a full crew, so there's about four of us in the back of the truck. It's one of those trucks where there's no roof on it, there's sides. You can stand in the back of the truck and fight a fire if you like. But the fire was that hot, we just jumped in the back of the truck to get out. But the truck to get out was, you had to drive right alongside the edge of the fire. We had a young fella in the back of the truck with us who wasn't probably the sharpest knife in the drawer. He decided to stand up, and you could feel the heat pumping from this fire truck. Anyway, old mate, Simon his name was, stood up, and in a split second he sat back down again, and he was wearing these plastic goggles to keep the smoke out of his eyes. When he sat down, the goggles had melted to his face. I know, it sounds horrible, but they actually looked quite funny. He was all good. But just the radiant heat is just absolutely deadly. Most people in bushfires actually die from the radiant heat rather than the actual fire itself, or they die from smoke inhalation. And that's what's happened to these soldiers. The radiant heat just wiped them out. Verse 24, the king Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men who were tied up and threw another fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. That's cool. Verse 24 says the king was amazed, and no doubt he would have been. I don't know how this furnace was set up that he was able to look in, but he was. And he saw not only the three guys, but he saw four men. So not only were they surviving, they're actually multiplying. And they weren't just there, they were actually walking around. I don't know what they were doing, but they were walking around. Maybe they're rubbing some suntan lotion on, or I don't know what they're doing. But they seemed just fine. But what's interesting, when I was doing, when I was looking into this, there's an ancient translation of Hebrew scripture called the Subotrid. I think that's how I pronounce it. Anyway, it's a translation from Hebrew to Greek. And according to the commentators, it adds a little bit to the scripture. I'm not saying we're adding to the Bible. This is just what this is saying in the Subotrid. It says that Nebuchadnezzar's attention was caught by the men singing praises to God. I know it's not in the Bible, it's not a normal text, but this is what the translation says, that they weren't just walking around, they're actually praising God. It's an interesting thought. Three men walking in a furnace, having a worship service. I mean, that's pretty nuts. Reminds me a lot of, you know, Paul and Silas in the prison, tied up, singing to God. Now, this is a weird story. It's a crazy story. And I know a lot of people obviously think it's a bit of a fairy tale. Or it's not actually a story, it's a demonstration of what God would do, and it's a demonstration of God's power, and it didn't actually happen. Some people that grew up in Sunday school have heard all of these crazy stories, and they think, well, yeah, it's a bit far-fetched, let's be honest. Some people, they they just think that it's nonsense. And I get it. What's next? They're going to walk out the furnace, pull a rabbit out the hat. You know, how does that all that work? Oh, I get that skepticism. I get it. Because it's totally and utterly out of the ordinary. I've never seen anyone walk out of a furnace. You know, people don't survive that stuff. But I just want to point out something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'd suggest that if you believe that, then you've got to believe this. Because we worship a miracle-working God. But if you don't believe Genesis 1:1, then you probably won't believe a lot what's in the Bible. Or what you see in a lot of charismatic churches today. But if you believe that there is a God in heaven who is mighty enough to create heaven and earth, everything we see and we don't see, the sun and the moon, the stars, which are created by him, he's sovereign, he's literally the master of the universe. If he chose to suspend those properties, those laws of nature for a moment that these men could survive, I'd suggest he could absolutely do that. But I'd suggest that if you don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, then that can cause a problem. But I must say that I personally believe it, and I hope you do too. I serve a God who is above all things, and at times and places he can suspend the laws of natural order to achieve what he wants to achieve. And if you read the Bible, it's full of these types of stories. And if you look at Jesus, you know, Jesus' life was a miracle. He was born of a virgin. That's a miracle. He performed miracles throughout his whole ministry. He was crucified on the cross. He rose again, only to have breakfast with his mates on a beach. His whole life was a miracle. That's what I believe being a Christian is not about, but it's a big part of being a Christian is miracles. I think if you're a Christian, we should expect miracles in our lives as well. Thanks, Shane. Verse 25, it says this. Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. So it's interesting. Nebuchadnezzar tells us the identity of the fourth man. He said he looks like the son of God. It's remarkable to think that Jesus was literally in the furnace with him. Some people think that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that's how Jesus' life actually started. But Jesus is eternal God who had existence way before his birth in Bethlehem. And at certain times and places in the Old Testament, we see Jesus appear. And this is just one of those times. Jesus was right there with him. But I'd suggest Jesus just didn't appear then for the first time. I suggest Jesus was with them when they didn't bow. I suggest Jesus was with them when they faced King Nebuchadnezzar as well. And we can look at it in our own life as well. God can deliver us from our trials of furnaces and our lives. But sometimes God allows us to not deliver us from the furnace, but to actually be consumed by it or endure it. There are people who are persecuted and literally and figuratively cast into a furnace and they burned the glory of Jesus. Just last month in Pakistan, 10 Christians were burnt to death. And history shows it's very common, it's a common way for Christians to be martyrs, be burned at the stake. And they didn't survive. We can't say that, well, if God saved you from the furnace, he's with you, but if he didn't save you, he wasn't with you. That's not a true statement. Sometimes God will put his power manifested into us into giving us strength to endure it. There's an English martyr burned at the stake said, you look for miracles? Here now you see one. For this fire I feel no pain as if I were in a bed of roses. This man, he died, he would be burnt to death, but God's power was there. God is sovereign and we always don't know his plans. We just need the faith in him. It was fitting that the Son of God was there walking in the midst of the fire. And I suggest Jesus isn't that unfamiliar with furnaces. He's no stranger to it when you look at his life on earth. Jesus knows the furnace of temptation. For 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil. Therefore, I suggest when we're faced with temptation, all we need to do is look around and he'll show us a way out. Jesus knows the fairness of pressure and stress. And you think about the weight placed on his shoulders and the responsibility that he bore on earth. when we feel the heat of stress, we look around and we see strength and we'll be there. Jesus will be there strengthening us. Jesus knew the fairness of rejection and unfair treatment. He faced a lot of that in his ministry. He was despised by men and rejected. The only person who have ever lived and never sinned, but he was treated horribly. When we're rejected and treated poorly, we've got to look around because Jesus will be there with us. Jesus knows the pain and suffering. I suggest he's no stranger to a furnace. Verse 25, it says, "Look, I see four men walking around unbound and unharmed, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God." So three went in, four ended up in there. They were all completely tied up. It's interesting that the only thing that burned off was actually the ropes that was holding them in bondage. The clothes weren't burned, the hair wasn't even singed. It was only the ropes. Sometimes we can be in the midst of a furnace, but it's actually a good thing. Sometimes we need to go through a struggle or a pain to free us from chains. And we cry out to God to free us from the service, but Jesus is saying, "No, I've actually sent you this furnace to burn off those ropes. I'll still be there. I'll strengthen you to get through it." I can think of a couple really recent times where good friends of mine, they're actually in bondage. They're actually held captive. God sent them a furnace their way to burn off those ropes. And I'm pretty sure they can look back now and they can see that. At the time, they're in a state of confusion and hurt and a world of pain, but they can look back now and they can see that it was actually a God thing. Now they're free. Sometimes we have to thank God for the furnaces in our life. Verse 26, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They thought the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." I love that part. It says, Nebuchadnezzar calls them out, servants of the Most High God. You see, previously, Nebuchadnezzar had an opinion that he was actually a god. He was the god. After he witnessed what he witnessed, he realized he wasn't. I have a bit to do with the coach of that team through work. And so I said, "So what's your secret, mate? How could you come from a basket case team to an all-conquering team?" And he goes, "Exactly." He said, "Everything is me, me, me." And he says, "My job as a coach is to treat that disease so that it's no longer about them, but it's about us and we can play as a team." And I think most of us tend to have times in our lives when we think we have it all under control, but the truth is we don't really have any control at all. Only God does. The king Nebuchadnezzar was dethroned. He realized that he was no longer the king. And sometimes we have to dethrone the king me in our lives too. Back to the story. It says verse 28. "The Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." See, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God was a God who delivers people from his hands. Our God really is a God who saves. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from temptation, from hell itself. He also recognized that God is worthy of surrender. Jesus saved us from an everlasting furnace, which we call hell. Jesus hung on a cross and paid that debt for us to save us as a gift. When we surrender to him, we are saved from that furnace. And we need to put our faith in him. I'd suggest to have that kind of faith these men had, you don't get it from reading the Bible every day. You don't get it from coming to church every day. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's all good stuff. But the only way is to have a relationship with him. There's a lot of discernment style ministries on social media these days, and they're going around and saying these things about everyone, and they twist the scripture, and they can diminish the scripture. But I'd suggest that they know the word, but they don't know Jesus. And if they know the nature of Jesus and they knew him personally, they would understand it. And when we get to that point, I believe that we too will have the faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We build a relationship with Jesus, and we understand the person of Jesus.